for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, July the 6th, 2012. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on meekness. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
I'm trying to be quiet. I'm trying to learn to be quieter. Tempted to speak. Lord, do you want me to speak or you want me to be quiet? And I know that's a joy to some of you, especially Kyle. I must be a pastor's nightmare. Not Kyle. I thank God he loves me regardless. And so God tells us to laugh. James 4, 6 through 10, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will exalt you. Draw near to God and cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, be afflicted, mourn and weep. This is the true effect of humility in our lives. And it's a choice, all by His grace. Everything's by His grace. Everything. The fact that you even know the Lord is by His grace. So this is why Scripture often associates meekness with repentance. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. Verse 1, all the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Now, this is why you go through trials. This is why I go through trials. It's to humble us. That He might, number one, humble you, and number two, test you to know what was in your heart. Well, He knew it, but He was testing you. Whether you'd keep His commandments or not, and He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Your clothing did not wear out, nor did your foot swell during these 40 years. Thus you're to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. You see, God corrects those things that mom and dad didn't do right. That's why He disciplines every son whom He loves, and He disciplines us to realign us to the Word of God. Because mothers and daddies, you can have the best mother and daddy in the world, and they're going to miss it. And so wherever they miss it, then God has to correct those areas. It says, for the Lord God is bringing you into a good land. You need to read this whole thing. But verse 11, beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, the trials you've gone through, your circumstances, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness He fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you and do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made this wealth. In other words, he took you through that to show you that if anything good's in your life, he did it.
Amen.
I'm serious. Amen. If you had everything God promised you up front, you'd be so proudful and so arrogant and so haughty that you'd totally miss the calling that he has in your life. But he has to humble us so that we'll know whatever we have, he did it. And it's good to get your life right with the Lord now, because you don't want to wait till the one world order comes. And I hope to God it don't come, but it's coming pretty fast the way it looks. And I'm told, and I don't know if it's true, that there's a mandatory RFID chip in that package. And so that may mean that you and I are going to have to make a choice. Are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow man? Meekness requires that we, too, oppose sin. Galatians 6:1. If a man is overtaken in a fault, those who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of meekness. Meekness does not mean we don't show others they're wrong. We're commanded to show them their error in meekness. 2 Timothy 2:24. In meekness, gentleness, correct those who oppose themselves so they can recover themselves from the snare of the devil. We're mistaken if we think that meekness means that we don't correct sin when God tells us to. But we don't do it in harshness. We do it in love, and we do it in kindness, and we do it with gentleness. Where I've been really quick to correct people, I haven't done it the right way. And Lord, I pray you bring all the people back across my path that I have corrected in the wrong way so I can make it right. And meekness leads us to tell others they're wrong. And where it tells us to, in the same verses where it tells us to be meek, it tells us to correct. Meekness, like love, is exercised first toward God. You know, sometimes people say, well, just be quiet and just don't say nothing to them. And what they're really saying is, don't rock the boat, don't tickle their ears, don't tell them what they want to hear, don't rock the boat. And you know what, when our conscience is not clear, we enable people. Meekness is a willingness to submit, but our primary submission is to God and not to man. We have to account to God. We can't force our own will. It's not our will be done, it's God's will be done. Because God tells us to correct. Meekness is the quality of character that demands that we must speak out against error. A meek person, above all else, wants to see God's will respected and wants to see God loved. That's a meek person. When a meek person sees people disregarding the will of God, he'll be moved to indignation because people are not respectful of God's will. A meek person cares about God's will being done. Phinehas was jealous for God's will. Remember, the Israelite woman was sleeping with the man, and Phinehas gets the spear. And go to Numbers 25. And see what God thought of me. Phinehas was jealous for God to be glorified. Numbers 25, it says, and he went, back at the 6, then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand, and he went after that man of the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel were checked. Phinehas, I don't believe God's telling us to kill anybody, but we certainly can kill the sin. Deal with the sin or hate the sin. You notice that the plague was checked, and he saved the whole nation of Israel by killing this two couples because they were bringing shame to the Lord. And those who died by the plague were 24,000 people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not destroy the sons of Israel. Therefore say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace, and it shall be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the sons of Israel. You know, God said, you're going to be my servant. You're going to be my spokesman if you separate the holy from the profane. And you know, when we don't speak out against error when God tells us to, that's just as prideful, because we're worried about, are we going to get in trouble? Or we're worried about ourselves, which is pride. It's not having a humble heart. The whole thing boils down to being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Morning, noon, and night, 24/7. But because we're human, we can't do it 24/7, but we can do it more and more and sin less and less. Meekness expresses itself first and foremost in an attitude of willingness to submit to God. And so one who's truly meek and humble, we have to honor others rather than exalting ourselves. Romans 12:3, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. Romans 12:16, do not set your mind on high things. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And we have to serve the needs and interests of others. And you know, I appreciate those of you who work for Lake Hamilton. I know the salary is not great, but you lay down your life to help people. And you're storing up treasures in heaven that nobody can take away from you, ever. And I appreciate all of you. But a meek person is willing to forego his own desires so that other people can receive what they need. It's a willingness, and this is convicting to me, it's a willingness to inconvenience yourself in order to help others. You know, the greatest of all will be the servant of all, and you know, I want to serve when it suits me, when it's convenient for me. And so, Lord, we ask you to show us by your grace how to lay down our life for other people so that we will have eternal treasures. We're almost through. Philippians 2:2, verse 8. Each should count others better than himself. Let each of you, one of you, regard one another as more important than himself. So I must be willing to let your needs and problems take priority over mine. Let each of you look out for not just his own interests, but the interests of others. What's best for other people? And we have to help others overcome sin. And so, contrary to what some people believe, that meekness is weakness and that we're to keep quiet, God instructs us that if we love people enough, we're going to tell them the truth to keep their soul out of hell. I remember Joe's husband, and I wasn't doing it, I mean, I didn't do it in meekness and gentleness, but I said, brother, I don't discern you're saved. Anyway, he accepted the Lord, and later on he said, that woman told me what was wrong with me. Anyway, he went to be with the Lord 2 years ago. But I didn't do it right. I spoke, you know, I spoke to him, but I didn't do it in gentleness. And so when y'all see me not being gentleness, please, you have freedom to correct me, but please be merciful. Please be meek about it. Galatians 6:1, if one's overtaken in a trespass, should he be restored in a spirit of meekness? And that shows the proper purpose of teaching is to restore a person. You love them enough to restore them. 2 Timothy 2:24-26 says, teach in meekness those who have been taken captive by the devil. Again, the purpose of the teaching is clear, to help people repent and recover themselves from Satan's grasp. Be helpful, as already discussed, and do it without striving and quarreling and fighting. God doesn't want us to fight with people. and teach with long-suffering and forbearance. Don't quarrel. This is another thing. I have never been forbearing. But I thought I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Must have sprung a leak, right? You know, when Kyle gave the illustration of the red bird in about 20 years ago when I was pastoring a church, and it's funny how you remember what God is wanting you to repent of. But I was in my prayer room, and for 2 weeks a red bird kept hitting my prayer room window. I was very gentle with him for 2 weeks. I mean, I bound the devil. I thought the devil's attacking me. The Satanists are attacking me. I bound the demons. I did everything in that bird. Splat, splat, splat. And I put up with him for 2 weeks, and then I got my shotgun. I went outside, and I blew him away, and these red feathers were just... But you know what God... You know what God showed me through that? Not being forbearing. I'll put up with you for about 2 weeks, and then if you don't listen, I'll blow you away. And so... A humble person is willing to forgive and not retaliate. The other day I was thinking about a family member, not Kyle, but somebody else. And I was thinking, I can't believe they did this or that. Oh God, I can't believe they did that. And the Lord said, you're not where I want you to be either. And I told this particular family member that. I said, don't you just love that God told me that? They laughed. They thought it was funny. Some more scriptures on meekness. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. Psalms 25:9. The meek will be He will guide in judgment. Do you need God to guide you? And the meek will He teach His way. Psalms 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in abundant peace, even in the midst of the one world order. Glory to God. You know, in Job 28, it says that when you walk the way of wisdom, you are hidden from all the eyes of the living. It says Satan and all of his demons don't know the way of wisdom, but God knows. Let me turn to Job 28, and the other day the Lord just dropped this down in my heart, 28, it says, but God knows the way of wisdom, and it says, when He imparted way to the wind, in verse 25, and meted out the waters by measure, when He set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then He saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. So I know I'm walking the way of wisdom when I depart from evil. And Isaiah 35 says, no lion, no fool, no unclean can get on the highway of holiness. In Proverbs it says, the path of the upright is like a highway. Departing from evil, departing from evil, departing from evil. And so we have to continue to do that, is to walk the way of wisdom. But it says in verse 7, the path of wisdom no bird of prey knows, no demon knows, nor has the falcon's eye caught sight of it. The proud beast have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. And I was out in the yard thinking about all the drones that the government has sending over America, the unmanned planes that are surveilling everything. They're flying all over America to do surveillance on us. And I was out in the yard working in the kennel, and I just said, oh, Lord, I just pray You cover the properties of the saints with the blood of Jesus so that we can be hidden. And God just dropped this down into my heart. When you walk the way of wisdom, you're hidden from all the eyes of the living. Glory to God. So we can't walk in pride and expect God to protect us in these days we're living in. Okay, the next scripture, and we're almost through. Psalm 76:9, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, the gentle of the earth. Psalms 147:6, the Lord lifted up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Glory, hallelujah. Psalms 149:4, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The meek are the gentle, tamed by God. Isaiah 11:4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Isaiah 29:19, the meek shall also increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them who are bound. Ye shall find, and in coming to him, you'll find rest for your soul. Matthew 21:5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt in the foal of an ass. 1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You see, there's ornaments. Satan has ornaments. Psalm 73 says, pride is their necklace, their neck chain. The garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulge with fatness. There's glaucoma right there. Pressure in the eyes. And so Satan has ornaments, but also God has ornaments. Proverbs 1 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, it is a graceful wreath about your head and ornaments about your neck. So you can have God's ornaments, or you can have ornaments of pride. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and with fear. And Lord, we ask you to work that meekness in our heart. And every time we operate in our human strength or our human flesh, oh God, we pray for your conviction on us so we can choose you. So stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you all the areas that he's convicted you in. I trust that this is going to help you too. It'll help you be transparent, if nothing else. Lord, search my heart and test my thought. And let me tell you, there's a difference if I'm standing up here criticizing myself for the sake of an unloving spirit, or I don't feel good about myself. It's different when you're dealing with sin versus an unloving spirit. You see what I'm saying? God doesn't want us to tear ourselves down, but he wants us to be real and confess our sin. You see the difference? So, Lord, search my heart and test my thoughts and show me everything in my life that you want out. In Jesus' name. And then just sit down when you're through, and then we'll get delivered. If you're wearing anybody's yoke except the yoke of Jesus, just like Kyle said one day, if you think you're not going to wear the yoke of Jesus, guess what? You're going to get a yoke. You'll get Satan's yoke if you don't wear the yoke of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for being prideful, arrogant, haughty, cruel, mean, hurtful, nasty, sarcastic, and not being kind to others. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for arrogance, impatience. Forgive me for not being gentle and lowly and humble. Forgive me for being selfish and prideful, full of self-will. God, forgive me for not being patient. God, forgive me for not being spiritless. I'm sorry, that's meanness. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong spirit. Forgive me for not being soft and forbearing and yielding, unassuming. God, forgive me for not preserving peace. Forgive me for arm of the flesh. Forgive me for thinking I'm tough and strong and courageous and bold in the flesh. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for thinking I'm mighty, tough. Forgive me for being warlike and not being peaceful and mild and having a mild disposition. Forgive me for not being at peace, not being calm, not being tranquil, and not being soft. God, forgive me for not seeing myself as the beggar I am before you, like the publican. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me for being a Pharisee and seeing everybody else's need and not seeing mine. Not seeing that anything I have, God, you gave me. If I have any attribute, it's because you gave it to me by your grace. So who am I to criticize anybody for anything? God, forgive me for manifesting pride, arrogance, boastfulness, and egotism, and not having a gentle, humble heart. God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not glorying in my infirmities. Forgive me for believing that when I'm strong, I'm strong. I forgive my daddy, my mother, my grandpa's, grandmother's, family members for teaching me that the Lord helps those that help themselves, and when I'm strong, I'm strong, and I've got to be a big boy, a big girl. I can't cry. I can't show weakness. Oh, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I want your power, but I've not been willing to glory in my infirmities. God, I want to, you just let today be a day from this day forward that I glory in my infirmities for the sake of your kingdom, to overcome the things in my life so that I have a testimony to share with others. And Lord, even if you don't remove the thorn in my flesh, I want to be used for your kingdom, Lord. And I will glory in whatever I go through by your grace. Forgive me for not being willing to give up my life, thinking that meekness is weakness, thinking that meekness means that I can't correct anybody. Forgive me for correcting people with arrogance and pride and self-righteousness and harshness and not being compassionate. God, I ask you to forgive me for not being meek and lowly and letting that be manifested in my life. Lord, I come under your yoke. Forgive me for having a self-inflicted yoke. Forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments that would cause me to have on a yoke of iron, to make me serve my enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things, and you to put an iron yoke on my neck until I'm destroyed. Forgive me for letting other people control me and putting their yoke on my neck. You know, you can't see the yoke of Jesus with the human eye. You can't see the yoke of your own expectations with the human eye. You can't see your husband's yoke with the human eye. You can't see the yoke other people put on you. What you put on your husband puts on you, or you put on them. It's a spirit of control. You can't see that with the human eye. But if you could see like angels and demons see, you would see a yoke on people's neck. A yoke of iron, my yoke, your yoke, other people's yoke, my mate's yoke, my children's yoke, my own self-inflicted yoke, and it all produces the fruit of the flesh. It's all idolatry. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to break that yoke of iron that came on my neck through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, their own rebellion, disobedience to your voice and your commandments, and Lord, because of my own disobedience. And Lord, that I would find no resting place for the sole of my feet, but a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. And Lord, I've been under the curse of no rest because of disobedience to your voice and your commandments. Lord, I ask you to break that curse in the name of Jesus. And Lord, forgive me for letting Leviathan manifest his ugly head in my life. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I give to you that you would repay him. And Lord, you can come within his double mail. Forgive me for letting smoke go out of my nostrils and fire go out of my mouth and burning people down with my mouth. Letting Leviathan loosen me. God, you put a hook in my jaw and a rope in my nose to try to restrain me. And Lord, forgive me for using human weapons instead of trusting in you. And Lord, I renounce Leviathan. I renounce his ornaments. And forgive me for wearing ornaments of pride, having a pride necklace, eyes bulging with fatness, the imaginations of my heart running riot. And Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being self-assertive, bold in the flesh, assertive in the flesh, being a blabbermouth. It's all about me. Talking about I, me, mine, what I'm doing, and blah, blah. God, forgive me. And Lord, now I ask you to forgive me for not searching out by any method to be meek. Forgive me for not seeking meekness, gentleness. God, I choose now to put on meekness. It's something you have to put on. Okay, I want you to put it on. Lord, I put on meekness, and I take off every yoke that's not the yoke of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I make no provision for the flesh. In the name of Jesus, I put on the armor of light. Forgive me for making provision for my flesh. Lord, I reckon myself dead. I put on the new man, and I put on the whole armor of God. And you can dress up in that every day, but if you're alive to your flesh, it don't work. And so, Lord, forgive me for not following after meekness, following after money, the love of money. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for not fighting the good fight of faith and following after righteousness, godliness, love, patience, and meekness. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not instructing with meekness. Forgive me for being a coward when you tell me to speak up and I don't do it. Forgive me for timidity and shyness. Forgive me for being afraid I'm going to offend somebody, being a fear of man that's brought a snare to my life. God, I just... Forgive me for pride that's causing me to go to destruction and having a haughty spirit to fall. God, I recognize my dependence on you. I need you, Lord. I want to be like that little child. I want to be a doer of the word. Forgive me for not being a doer of the word. I lay aside excessive words and surplus in Jesus' name. God, I humble myself in your presence, and I draw near to you. I cleanse my hands, purify my heart. Lord, I choose to be afflicted and mourn and weep so that true humility will be shown forth in my life. God, I haven't had a humble heart. I want a humble heart. I ask you to show me how needy I am, and then I won't be judging nobody else. You know, I believe that's delivered me from judging people, is seeing how needy I am. And I thank God for it. I thank God for this eye problem. If it hadn't have been for an eye problem, I wouldn't be seeing any of this, and I would still be keeping the pride, the arrogance, and the haughtiness. Not that it's not still there, but I'm telling you, it's not as much as it was last week. I'm going to keep on working on it because I want to be a person that people see as meek and humble. Not one person has said, "Oh, Jerry, that don't fit you." Nobody said, "Oh, no, you don't have that." Joe said, "Big caps." All caps. Lord, forgive me for bucking against the wilderness when the whole purpose of my circumstances is to humble me so that I'll know that whatever good thing in my life is there because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name. God, forgive me for not restoring people in a spirit of meekness and not being like Phinehas, being jealous for you, God, jealous for your purpose, jealous for your will, jealous that people love you. God, forgive me for not correcting with gentleness. Forgive me for listening to man more than listening to you. Forgive me for trying to force my own opinion, my own will. Forgive me for not speaking out against error, separating the holy from the profane, so I can be your spokesman. Forgive me for being so deceived, Lord. Forgive me for thinking more highly of myself than I ought to think, and not thinking soberly. Forgive me for not setting my mind on things above. Forgive me for setting my mind on high things, prideful things, worthless things, vain things. Forgive me for being wise in my own opinion and thinking I see and I've been blind. Forgive me for not being willing to inconvenience myself to help others. Forgive me for not foregoing my own desires. Forgive me for not counting others better than myself. Forgive me for not regarding others as more important than me. Forgive me for not looking out for the good of others. Forgive me for being quiet when I should speak up and speaking up when I need to be quiet. Forgive me for not being under your control. Forgive me for not being willing to show people their error. Forgive me for not restoring people in a spirit of meekness. Forgive me for not teaching in meekness. Forgive me for making people afraid and letting Leviathan work. Forgive me for not being long-suffering, not being willing to put up with people. Forgive me for not being willing to submit for the good of the group and having a lowly mind. Forgive me for doing things through faction and vainglory. And Lord, forgive me for not forgiving others. Lord, who do we think we are when you've forgiven us for much and we can't forgive others for a lesser debt? Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut every yoke off of people's neck in the name of Jesus. I break the power of neck problems in Jesus' name. I break the power of Leviathan in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray with me. I take accountability for everything I've confessed. And Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through the bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in our life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I break generational curses of everything we've confessed of Leviathan. Come out, spirit of Leviathan, out in Jesus' name. I command those yokes to be broken in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I ask you, everybody lift your hands up in the sky. Lord, I ask you to drop your yoke from heaven, the yoke of Jesus that's light and easy, and I find rest for my soul, and my life will produce your character and your nature. I choose to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. I break the power of neck pain. I forgive any anybody that's ever told me I was a pain in the neck. I break it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command pride, arrogance, boastfulness, haughtiness, harshness, rudeness out in Jesus' name. I break the power of impatience. Come out. I break the power of every spirit that would keep me from being long-suffering. I break the power of that. I break the power of the Pharisee spirit. Get out of us in the name of Jesus. The spirit of the Pharisee. All spirits that cause us to see other people's need and not see ours. All spirits of selfishness, of wanting to be served. Out in Jesus' name. Unloving spirit, out. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. Get out in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. praise you, Lord. And all fear, I break the power of fear of end times, fear of the one world order, fear I'm going to be killed, fear I'm going to be put in prison. In Jesus' name, you are a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you're put, you're there to save the enemies. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Thank you that we're your ambassadors, and ambassadors have diplomatic immunity. Praise the Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Fill every person, Lord, in Jesus' name. I love you and thank you for being patient with me.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.